you feel like accounted for right? most nights with your bullpen. Holden so, and Chapman, Scott, and Bednar.
Those two guys,
mm-hmm.
you're giving up Luis Ortiz.
Tough to say that today.
Henry Davis.
Easy to say that today.
And Mike Burrows.
Don't care.
So the person I was talking to about this said, well, one of the things you hear is that the Pirates don't want to get rid of any of their prospects, the top prospects. They wouldn't give up any of their top prospects in this deal.
There's no way
these guys have graduated.
Davis
and Ortiz have graduated past the state of prospect. He'd be trading two major leaguers
for
two major leaguers. And Burrows is a wild card because at one point he was looked at as a higher-end prospect, not that he throws like Jones
injury,
or
though.
Skeens,
Tommy
and he's coming off an arm injury. Now, it's easier to come back from that than when Tommy did it in 1977 or whatever it was, but...
I would do that deal. You're getting... Earlier in his career, he was a better player, but I'm looking it up on Chisholm. Not a bad defender. Not as good the last year he was not good. This year he's been eh. He's been about average, but you're injecting some speed, athletic ability, and I would say overall production. You know what he strikes out a lot, but the batting average isn't so abysmal like you see with so many guys in this lineup right now. He doesn't take a ton of walks, so it's the ball in play that you got to hope stays reasonably hot.
I really think of all the decisions that need to get made for the Pirates in terms of how we position ourselves to compete that are not about resource allocation money-wise, taking the payroll from in the 80s to up to 100 mm-hmm. and spending money to supplement the players that you have, which in my opinion has to be part and parcel with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the decisions that has to get made, I think, is choosing between Henry Davis and Eddie Rodriguez as your catcher, the person who you deem to not be the catcher. Where do you see them playing, if not catcher, and moving them to another position? Is that person more valuable to you as a right fielder or first baseman, or is that person more valuable as a trade chip to a team that would use that player as a catcher? So getting something for a guy that is not your catcher. It's
blocked
like...
blocked by you when somebody's blocked some... Oh, you know what it is?
Brian Giles with the Indians.
Yes, thank you. I knew you were going to know where I was headed.
That's
on
exactly
that.
Right.
He was their fourth outfielder because they were loaded.
Yes.
And they needed a lefty reliever. Pirates needed an outfielder. Wham, bam, thank you,
so,
man.
You know...
The Marlins catcher who has caught the most games this year is terrible.
I don't think it makes sense for the Pirates to keep long-term Davis and Rodriguez. And it seems to me like, even though they drafted him just a couple years ago with the number one pick, the Pirates don't exactly seem convinced that Davis is a major league catcher. He's only playing there or played there this year because Rodriguez needed Tommy John surgery. So provided he comes back from that.
I think Rodriguez is obviously their catcher of the future. I don't even think there should be a question. Like in their internal evaluation of the position, I think it's Rodriguez, and I think it's pretty clear.
Because I heard Zeiss and Starkey talk about Davis a little bit today, and Paul said, where does Davis play? And Joe's response was, he hits. He's a hitter. Okay, like, if he were hitting, and I was convinced of that, then maybe I could live with it.
You also probably wouldn't need to make this trade because you'd have a much better bat.
But hold on. Okay, but hold on a second. I would not want to take, like, a guy that's in his mid-20s and make him my designated hitter and tie up that position when I have other major holes on my roster, like center field. If I can get a good center fielder for a guy that is valuable to other teams because, hey, we'll get him out, like we've said, we'll get him out of Pittsburgh and we'll make him better. He's not the problem. They're the problem.
But I don't think the rest of baseball even views Henry Davis as a catcher.
Well, they did out of college. They did. Most teams did.
I just think that what the Pirates have done, which is tacitly admit they don't think he can play the position, is what would have happened for most other teams. I don't think most teams saw him as a 1-1 guy or close to it because they had questions and reservations about whether he could really catch in the bigs. The only way he was a true 1-1 guy is we know the bat's going to play because it's a college bat, and then he can actually catch at this level. Then that's a different animal. That's Buster Posey or something adjacent to that. If you have a guy that's a pretty good college bat,
that does, that profiles as maybe a slightly underpowered corner outfielder in the big leagues, that's not a first overall pick.
No.
It just isn't. So I think most teams did not feel that he was a 1-1 guy because they didn't feel that he would probably stick at catcher. They were going to give him a chance. Giving a guy a chance is a lot different than thinking he is a slam dunk catcher. That's his position. And I remember as soon as the Pirates drafted him, like almost right from the jump, yeah, we're going to have him catch. That's our intent. And then everything they've done goes against that. They've just completely in action countermanded their words about Henry Davis. And so you're asking all of this, and the reason I kind of make all these statements is you're saying he would be useful to somebody else like that more so than he would be the Pirates because they have Endy coming back from injury. I doubt the legitimacy of that. You would have to have a black hole at catcher on your roster, I think, to be desperate enough. And maybe the Marlins do. Like, go look up their starting catcher. He's horrible.
I think that's why this person thought that they were a good fit for Davis in a trade.
That might be one of the only teams out there.
Here's the other thing that this person brought up to me about Davis in the context of this conversation. The other thing that might make him more attractive to a team is one of the things that he stinks at as a catcher might no longer be part of the job responsibility. That's the framing pitches part.
Mm-hmm.
How far away are we from just automated strike zones and stealing strikes and turning balls into strikes no longer becomes part of the job description? Are we 2 years away from that?
Didn't they go away from it in the minors, though? Didn't they go back to the challenge system and took away the ABS?
Okay, so but it's still there where you can...
You can challenge
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
That makes me wonder if maybe we've actually gone further away from that.
I get what you're saying, because it's not on every single pitch you have to choose once.
Yeah, like they're reevaluating whether you can really do it, or they're trying to fine-tune it, which makes me think it could be further away.
Donnie, you'll be hosting at 6 and obviously reacting to this Pirates game today. Would you make that trade? Or now that Ortiz is showing you that he has another, you know, he's got another weapon in the arsenal here, he can be a starting pitcher. Does that have you less likely or more inclined to keep him than trade him?
It's not necessarily all about Ortiz himself. It's about what is not also with Ortiz in that bullpen. I know, like, today he made a spot start. He can be a starter. He'll be the long guy if they do a bullpen game. They are very thin at what he does in middle relief. Like, the back end of the bullpen seems to have figured it out. But I actually have a fear of what happens to the bullpen if you get rid of somebody else who is actually pitching very well.
If I have a chance to get a center fielder and acquire somebody.
You're getting Tanner Scott back in the deal,
and
though,
also,
too. You're getting
bolster,
a great
yeah,
relief
getting,
pitcher.
You're also
he's
pushing
not a volume. He's
Holderman
not a...
becomes a sixth inning guy almost in that setting.
Well, and you're getting, don't you think Marco Gonzalez or
somebody can
someone's
be going to
become a relief pitcher
somebody
here
can
soon.
Be sent and turned
Falter
into
might
man.
End up in your bullpen if this keeps up with him.
If Falter's your long man out of the pen, suddenly I feel good about that. I think Falter can do that.
Ultimately, I'd probably say yes, but there is actually reason.
How much hesitation do you have with the Davis part of it?
I also actually think Chisholm is a pretty overrated player.
Do you have him in fantasy baseball or something?
No, but I'm also pretty sure he got voted like the most overrated player in baseball.
Do you happen to think Henry Davis is a pretty overrated player?
No, I think he's a pretty awful player.
Touche. What do you just
I
love
have no
to,
trepidation about the
I gotta
Davis
be honest with you.
None.
I would love to know.
Davis is actually the least guy I'm worried about. I would almost
I
think
hear you
that,
on that.
That someone like Burroughs, you can make an argument. Ortiz, you can make an argument. Davis, I actually think, is the easiest one to say, you know what, I think we're at the point here where we can make the call.
I'd love to know around baseball what his value is. What happened?
You asked for our guy Caleb to do something with Mrs. Met. Caleb has delivered. I just want you to see it. He has reimagined Mrs. Met as the star of Some Like It Hot. Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon.
I'm telling you, Mrs. Met, she ain't bad. Thank you, Caleb. Why did Donnie ask me if I had... Now I'm seeing a tweet. Donnie just sent me a tweet. Were you having a medical emergency? When?
Look at the picture that you tweeted out.
Oh, no. What did he do?
Malzy, this one like, takes the cake. I don't know. Like, is it showing up weird on my... Yeah.
No, it looks... He does this on purpose. He is like... He's gotten very good at taking the worst pictures of all time. It looks like... Yeah,
I think I was
like
just in a rush there.
It looks like you were shaking your phone and then tried to hit the button. Were you having a medical emergency? The next tweet, should I try Fortnite? What, do you have a PS2?
Well, now I'm interested by what Delay said, and all these other pirates are doing it. I have a Xbox that an Xbox One. Which one's newer, One or 360?
One is newer.
I have One.
One.
You would be able to have it on there,
but I don't have a power cord for it.
Why? Why not?
What do you mean?
I lost it.
Like you
when
can't
I moved.
Start the system.
It
has no power.
I don't have a cord to plug it into the wall, so I wonder if I could just take like a computer.
No.
I mean, I would like look for one. Like
look
Amazon.
For one where?
Amazon, Xbox
Amazon
One power
has
cord.
Everything.
God, what is
wrong
with you?
Roundtree found the hot dog guy's
yeah,
hat for
he did.
$20.
Yes, he did. And we might need to put out a siren call very soon for some singers.
Yeah, I have not heard anything about Jeff Jimerson.
Neither have
so
I.
So if you know anyone who would be willing to come here on July 3rd at 3 o'clock and kick off our fan hot dog eating contest. Producer is vying for a prize of $500, including Donnie Football and Harry Callis. And if you have experience singing the Canadian National Anthem and the American National Anthem, the U.S. Anthem, and would like to do that to kick off our event, if you know anyone, please pass along their info. 412-928-9370.
Get the runner over. Well, that's the way to do it. Out to deep center field. Fairchild back to the wall. There it goes. Home run. Andrew McCutchen to dead center field. Number 11, a two-run shot puts the Pirates up 4-1.
I'm going to give Shelton credit for two things today. McCutchen in the lineup, day game after a night game, talking about his old legs, his old lower half, and giving guys a blow in these day games, rubber match and series. They've had a horrible record in these situations where it's tied 1-1 and you're trying to win a series, and this is an even bigger one because it's in the division. And you're trying to get over the sin of benching all those guys in St. Louis a couple weeks back, which ticked people off, and then the Cardinals have taken off ever since. It's like you gave them the jet stream they needed to get going. You let them off the hook, as Dennis Green said. And starting Ortiz. Instead of going with the bullpen game idea, just start him from the very beginning. Jason Delay said he was thrown off that they used him like a straight-up starting pitcher. So
I need
to tip my cap.
Yeah, well, both of those I'll tip my cap to Shelton because they're feel things.
Yep.
You got to have a feel for whether the player is ready to roll in McCutchen's case, and you got to have a little feel for Ortiz, by the way, coming off of a not great performance to give him that
shot.
So
they changed it up.
It's almost like promoting him after a worse performance that would not warrant such a promotion.
I mean, it does feel a little blind squirrel nut to me with
Shelton. Yeah, but we've got to praise people when they do something good. We can't be known. We cannot become known on this show as the show full of haters.
I don't think we are.
Oh, I get told I'm a hater a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Now, we were having a great time. Donnie and I were at the Awaken 180 Open House. We ditched you for that yesterday, and it was awesome. We met a lot of very cool people there. The
I was
people
proud
who
of you
building.
Guys doing that. I thought that was very cool.
And we were jagging around. There was a lot of listeners, like got people who came up and said, until you guys were talking about this Awaken 180 on the show, I would never have done it, and they'd all like lost 40-plus pounds, literally. It was very awesome. But then we were just talking and BSing about the show with some of the listeners who showed up, and I said something like, I'm not the negative guy. Pony is. We were just throwing you under the bus for fun. And then the one guy looks at me and goes, I like you all, but you kind of are the negative one, Chris. How did I get that reputation? Is it because I'm willing to tell the hard truth about the home team sometimes?
Well, I think the Browns point you made earlier in the show is proof that you can change and evolve as a person.
They put hard times on me yesterday calling me that, Donnie. The negative guy.
412. Well, here's the thing. Negativity sells. If the Pirates had lost today, we'd have eight people on the lines trying to take a shovel, first knock Derek Shelton out with that shovel, and then bury him 6 feet under.
What is this, an Undertaker match?
Pretty much. They won, and so we do have some people that want to talk, but not as many, because that's how this tends to go.
Well, this medium always leans toward negativity. It's a much stronger animating emotion.
We're not asking you to call in and blow sunshine and rainbows up the Pirates' rear ends. But there are conversations that need to be had about how aggressive they treat this trade deadline guys that would be untouchables? Would you want to trade Henry Davis? How you feel about Ortiz moving forward? Does he need to stay, or do you use him to get a better player? All those things are on the table, and we'd like for you to weigh in with us at 412-928-9370. Starting with Daniel, he's on the Fan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. I just got two quick things. So I totally agree with the trade proposal that Pony sent. I think I would do that in a heartbeat, and here's why. If you're not going to go out and trade the prospects to get bats, then you have to shorten baseball games, and it has to be a lockdown win from the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning on, obviously, and you have to have more than four options, and they only have four options. The second thing with that, by adding to the bullpen, like in this trade that Pony said, it gives you another lefty, and it allows you to where if you need Skeens and Jones later in the year where you got to dial back their innings, or it gives you more ways to manipulate them and kind of save their bullets, if that makes sense, especially with those other starters coming back from the IL, too. If you're
How
not
do you feel about giving up Ortiz and Davis?
Davis, I have no issue giving up. I'm kind of over him. I think Endy's a better defensive player anyway, and Davis doesn't have a position. Ortiz, it kind of sucks. I think he's been pretty good this year, obviously. But at the same time, I think Scott provides – I'd rather have a guy that can help you lock down games, because Ortiz's usage isn't going to be very high. You know, I mean, he's not pitching very often. Even with the guys on the IL, he's only pitched, you know, this last month. Before that, he really wasn't used very often.
The one thing that I think would be a hang-up for the Pirates here is think about – and this is going to annoy people, but it's just true with them – think about all the years of control they would be giving up in this trade. Ortiz, Burrows, Davis.
Of Ortiz and Davis, who would be the tougher one to let go for you? It's Ortiz for me.
Really?
Yes, because I think Davis, there's a very good chance.
The guy's been your lowest leverage pitcher all year.
I think there's more potential.
That's how far out you are on Davis. Holy cow.
I'm pretty far gone on Davis.
You and Donnie both are like the easiest guy for us to trade is the dude we just took with the number one pick a couple of years ago.
I know that he's had a very, very small sample size, and so I am hesitant to say this, but man, we all watched him go down to AAA and then rake, and it was the narrative.
And hit home runs off position players.
Look, he's hitting. Yes, some of them are off position players, but he's still hitting. He went back to his old stance, came right back up. Who was it that just talked about the gap between
Shelton?
Yeah, Derek Shelton, right, thank you. I just wonder if he's going to be Henry Davis forever, a guy who can hit AAA pitching and can't hit Major League pitching.
Are you convinced, like Mulsey and Donnie, that Henry Davis is a bust? 412-928-9370. Okay, that did sound negative. Here is John in Pittsburgh. Hello, John.
Hey, yeah, so I think first off, I would want to keep Davis and make him a first baseman. That's what I want to do.
Why?
Because I think he can hit somewhere in there, and I think that if they have Andy catching, he can be a long-term solution. He has the build to be a first baseman. They just need to teach him how to do it. And trading-wise, I think I'm open to anything as long as it's an outfielder that can hit above 235.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're open to anything because you just said you want to keep Henry Davis, so that would close a Henry Davis door, John.
I think it's a little bit too early to give up on him. If we get something good back for him, I'm not going to say no, but I think it's a little bit too soon to give up.
What's your gut tell you? So you don't think they should give up on him, but what does your gut tell you his career here is going to look like, Henry Davis's?
Colin Moran.
Oh, my God.
John, that's kind of horrifying.
Dude, that's brutal.
You stopped Pony in his tracks with that one, brother. I don't know if that was your intent.
I was just pulling up, because I didn't have all the numbers memorized. I was just pulling up Josh Bell because he's the best Pirates first baseman of the last 10 or 15 years. This is like when he would play a full season, this is annually how many home runs he hit. 26 and 17, and 18 inexplicably, he only hit 12. Then the next year he hit 37, and then COVID after that. So 26, 12, and 37. He was averaging 25 to 26 home runs a year. Do you see Henry Davis doing that? Is he a 25 home run a year hitter?
Let me ask you this. If Henry Davis is even this is going to make everyone laugh and get mad at me, I bet. Is he even Ryan Domet as a hitter? Ryan Domet's three best years at the Pirates. I'll read them
off
for you.
That might be best case scenario for him, Chris.
Ryan Domet's three best years. 2008, he hit 318, 15 bombs, 69 driven in. Nice.
That's really good.
That's a very good year. Even in that offensive environment, it was good. The next year, he only hit 250. He was banged up, but he hit 10 home runs in 75 games. Still, okay. And then the final year of his little three-year run where he was pretty good with the Pirates, playing a lot of games, 13 home runs, 45 driven
I'll answer your question.
League, he was a league-average offensive player.
I would say I expect him to be slightly better, but not by much. An average season for Domet was 17 homers, 68 ribbies, and 264. I think that's what Henry Davis is.
That's not might be worse at catching than Ryan
Domet.
Look,
I understand.
Which was amazing since the guy's
nickname
was
Nomit. I understand. He was not number. They did not think he was the best player in that draft. They took him because it saved them money to use on later picks. That was their strategy. That strategy might, in the end, work. So, like, the same pressure on Henry Davis to be great. The pressure on Henry Davis to be great is not the same as it is on Skeens to be great, because they drafted Skeens to be their ace. They drafted Henry Davis to be, I think, a good catcher. He's going to probably fail at that part. But if, like, they hit on two or three picks later in the draft, it doesn't look as bad. But we got a long way to
right
go,
now,
Chris, for them to hit on those later picks,
right
too.
Right now, it looks very bad. Like, right now, yeah, they've got a long road to hoe there. And, like, the player, it's not like he looks like an underwhelming first overall pick. Like, he'll be a serviceable major leaguer. He looks like he can't play at this level. That's the problem.
Here's another John. He's on the fan. Hello, John.
Actually, Sean, but
sorry.
Close enough.
So the thing is, I don't think this would be a logical trade for the Pirates if they do it. You're only getting half of a year of control of Scott. He's going to go away. He's going to get paid in the offseason. So that's a wash right there. And then Jazz Chisholm, and I agree with something Donnie said about him being so overrated. I don't think he's that great. Is he better than the center fielders that the Pirates have right now? Absolutely. It's not hard to be better than the center fielders that the Pirates have right now. But at the same time, too, I don't think it's worth getting rid of an arm the caliber of Ortiz, who's finally starting to put it together a little bit more, looking better. Burrows, we still need to see more of him before we can make an inclined decision on what he's capable of.
Why?
But at the same time,
wait a minute. Why to that point?
Why do we have to wait on Burrows? Why is it crucial specifically to wait around
on him? You've got Jones, Keller, and Skeens. It's not like
and you might
Mike
have
Burrows.
Ortiz,
right? Well, you don't have Ortiz if you make this trade.
But if he's another arm that's capable of filling a long relief slot, it's somebody that's there within the bullpen that takes a weight off the amount of changes that have come within
Hold on a second. Time out. You're overvaluing something just because how rotten the Pirates have been at it this year. It isn't supposed to be hard to find long relievers. They've just sucked at filling out their bullpen with guys other than Ortiz. That's not supposed to be a hard thing to do, man. It isn't.
No, it's not.
So I would not someone being good in long relief is not going to keep me from bringing in a quality center fielder.
It'd be like if the catcher was good at nothing but stealing bases, I would probably say that's not a good enough reason to keep him around.
My biggest point, though, I wanted to come on was Henry Davis and the fact that he has only played 91 games in the major league, and he has not had a normal upbringing throughout his major league tenure. He was rushed up here. He was forced initially to change his position to the outfield, and then it didn't work out. Then the change came, and he gets hurt. Now he's back to having to focus on getting better at catcher and doing this and that. I don't think we've seen what Henry Davis is able to be capable of doing working with a normal load and not having to change his mental focus on so many different things. I think that's
so, Sean,
hurt him a little
willing,
bit.
If you're not willing to trade Burrows, Ortiz, Davis, who are you willing to trade? Who are your trade chips?
I think there's other trade chips that you could, I think, you know,
who?
A Bubba Chandler. If
I would
getting
not trade
somebody,
Bubba Chandler.
So he's having a pretty good, is he having a pretty good year, or is he just pitching better lately?
He's pitching much better lately. He's having overall a pretty solid year, but he's much better lately. Like, would you rather?
But if you have three guys,
would you trade Solometo?
And Jones.
Would you trade Solometo? Anthony Solometo.
I think he's another name that could go on a trade list, yes, because if you want to get better, if you want to be a playoff contender, a World Series contender, you eventually are going to have to get rid of certain prospects that you may not want to.
I agree, but it seems like you have a very, like, very odd list of those guys.
Yeah.
Swinging a liner towards center, Fawn fast and down for a base hit. Not wasted any time again. 23 games in a row, Brian Reynolds has hit safely.
23 for Reynolds. The all-time Pirates hit streak.
Paul Wehner.
30. Charlie Grimm. The Grim Reaper.
What year?
I think 1920 or 1933, maybe? 23?
Cook would have been there.
Something like that.
In the throes of the Great Depression, there is signs of optimism, a silver lining on this dark economic cloud. Charlie Grimm.
I think the longest in our lifetimes is Kenny Lofton had a 26er.
Pirates legend Kenny Lofton.
Yeah, that was a good trade they made. Lofton, Ramirez, Bobby Hill.
Matt Brubeck coming back.
Matt Brubeck. Yeah. And then the human windmill.
Jose Hernandez. Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember that one fondly.
Yeah, let's try to avoid
one of those. The time I slammed my hand in a car door.
That was before Don's time. Was Don watching the Pirates back then?
Those were early days. That was, what, 02 or 03?
03. Yeah.
I think.
John Football was probably watching and getting ticked off.
Yeah, I can't imagine he was very happy with the on-field.
You know the Kenny Lofton little tidbit about him, right, Donnie? The trivia note on him?
Go on.
Only player, I think, ever to appear in a Final Four and an MLB All-Star game. He was on one of Arizona's Final Four teams.
That's right.
I got Starkey with that on a quiz show many years ago, and oh my, dude, it was top five freak out for him on the quiz show. He couldn't believe I pulled it out of the mists.
Back to you on the Bucks, starting with AC in Upper St. Clair. Hello, AC.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
We're good.
What's,
man?
What's up, Josh?
When does the evening actually start, AC? Is it really at 5 o'clock like it is for you, or is it 6?
Well, yes, I'm semi-retired, so...
Well, the evening starts when you wake
anytime.
Up. Yeah. Okay.
AC, do you remember AC Green?
You guys. What's that?
Do you remember AC Green, the basketball player?
No, what? Kind of.
He's the Cal Ripken of basketball. He played the most consecutive games.
Really?
Yes. His claim to fame was that he was celibate his entire basketball career.
So he played all those games without scoring.
God. Yep.
That's crazy. No, that's no good. We don't like that.
Agreed. What do you got for us, AC?
Okay, here you go. Listen, first off, when was the last time we ever heard Nutting say anything about spending money?
Well, he alluded to it on Friday. He made it sound like
they
would do it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he always avoided every question, no matter what. But cutting to the chase, because that's what you guys want. Look, man, scared money never wins. He said spend money in so many words.
Yep.
Let it rip, right? Mortgage the farm system. I will drive Henry Davis to Colorado, Miami, wherever you want. Right? Trade him.
Thanks.
Money don't make money from AC.
I would feel a little bit different about it if they didn't already have Rodriguez. And could they try Henry Davis at first base? Yeah, they could. Scott Hatteberg and Moneyball went and played first base.
Mm-hmm.
He went catcher to first. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys do that, usually at the tail end of their careers, not at the beginnings. But that's not out of the question. That's not a sure thing, and if I can turn Henry Davis into more of a known commodity, I am absolutely willing to do that to help this team in this window to win with the starting pitching that they have.
He's just not – he's hardly untouchable.
Pop said he wouldn't trade Henry Davis for Mason Miller, which was still one of the
– Oh, what?
One of the craziest things I think he's ever said.
Why did Pop say that? What was his reasoning? Can't give up on a guy that soon?
Yes, that was it. That's what he said.
You have Mason Miller for like 5 more years.
I know. That's going to cost a lot. That's going to be really, really, really expensive. And I actually would, if Oakland traded him for, if they wanted like 3 top 100 prospects, for as much as I love the kid and he's been outstanding, I actually would not do that.
Well, I just don't think his position is inherently that valuable.
Yep. That's why I wouldn't do it. I know.
If he were, I would make an exception to that. If it was just blatantly obvious to all of us that the one thing they needed was one more dominant back end arm.
Like when the Cubs traded for Chapman when they won the World
Series.
Like
when you just know they're one player away,
And they gave up Gleyber Torres for that.
God, and it would be very fun. It would have been so funny if Chapman on fumes had given up the World Series winning home run, which
I was hoping he did.
Oh, he hung one to Kipnis, and Kipnis just didn't hit it out of the park. That would have been it. It would have been a walk-off game 7. That would have. Oh, you know who it
Chapman would've... just squeezed a little bit harder in that situation and got it done.
Yeah, he got a grip on things, but pretty late.
Dave is next. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
I agree with AC completely. I will drive Henry Davis to whatever airport Ben Sherrington sends him to. And all this stuff about moving him to first base. The guy can't play the position you drafted him in. You tried him in right field already. You can't field a ground ball in right field or a fly ball. And you want to move him to first base. He's shown nothing at the plate.
Well, that's right. That's the other uncomfortable part of this. He's a career 197 hitter, Dave.
Yeah, first of all, he can't hit. He's not going to just magically hit because he's in a new position. He's shown nothing to give him the chance to move him at a new position. And I don't think he's been a terrible catcher this year. He's done better than what they were saying he was.
But that's like the product of very low expectations.
Yeah, they set the bar to the ground. That's
like
where it was.
You're saying
you
that only because
it.
Yeah, the bar was even with the dirt.
Exactly. And then is the question that I have, is he better than Joey Bart, who we just traded for?
I'm not positive. Who was the second pick in a draft.
I'm not positive that he is. In fact, I think evidence shows he probably isn't.
Well, I actually, someone texted this question in, Dave, and I'll run it by you first, then I'll ask the other guys about it. If you were to trade a guy and he goes to another team, who do you think would have a better chance of figuring it out and putting it together on said new team? Henry Davis or Jack Sawinski?
Jack Sawinski, no doubt.
I agree with that.
I have to say Sawinski for one reason.
I agree.
Well, you know I'm way out on him too, but I'd have to say him for one reason. There is at bare minimum proof of concept in the big leagues that he can hit the ball over the fence. He's done it. And
against righties too.
Well, yeah, he'll see a majority of right-handed pitching, which is what he mashes or should mash as a lefty power guy.
Last year Sawinski hit against righties. I'm pulling this up.
I bet I can find
it. He had
it
an first. 856 OPS against right-handed
pitching.
Yeah,
he was an objectively good player against right-handed pitching, as he better be, or else he wouldn't be in the big leagues.
Correct.
He hit 24 home runs. How many years is it going to take Henry Davis? Jack Sawinski in his career has 51 home runs right now. How many years is it going to take Henry Davis to get there?
And Sawinski's 25. How old do you think Henry Davis
is? He's like 25 himself.
He's 24. He turns 25 in 2 months.
Sawinski has 51 home runs in 1,116 plate appearances. On Henry Davis's current pace, would he get there in the same amount of time? Henry Davis has 8 home runs in 255. So he's off of Sawinski's pace a little bit. But remember, those came mostly in, like, he had a little weird run. He hit 2 in Anaheim out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just crushed the ball. Wasn't one of them off Ohtani?
Yes, I believe it was.
I know one of them was. Maybe both of those were. But he had 2 randomly in that game. He's shown virtually nothing else. And if, like, the best argument you can make is, well, we took him 1-1. We clearly think there's something there. You can't hold on to that for a super long time. That's the sunk cost fallacy, basically. We spent a lot to get him in draft capital, technically. We spent the most you can spend. We'll keep trotting him out there.
Here is Tyler in Cranberry. Hello, Ty.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey.
Hey, so I got 2 things. One is a name that I haven't really seen thrown out there that much. I know he's a longtime Rocky, but whenever we were playing the Rockies, I could just see him as a Pirate, Charlie Blackman, for some reason. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on
that.
As
I see it with him, because his name has come up, there's 2 issues. The first one is, how much defense is he going to play? He's basically, because of his age, just a designated hitter now.
Mm-hmm.
He'll play some right field, but he's
you already have a guy on your roster doing that. McCutcheon.
Right.
He's a McCutcheon clone.
He's McCutcheon. And then the other thing is, they picked up the option on him, or he exercised his option, I should say. So I think he might be making like 16 or 17.
He's making 13 this year.
Okay, he's making 13.
He's redundant to another player you have, and McCutcheon's giving you more power. And
I know.
Here's what's, you know what's really alarming about him? The guy plays in Colorado and has 3 home runs.
What I was going to say is that Bob talked about, or Nutting talked about, you know, they will add to the team, and there's broader horizons, and there's more resources and all those things. They still have to pick up that prorated salary. I don't think they do it for him.
Do
I don't
think
they
warrants them doing
no.
it? I don't.
Not really.
He's by like the OPS plus, above 100, better than average. He's barely above average, and he's giving you doubles.
You know
that's what he's giving you.
You know what he is for me? He's like a, you don't have to give up much to get him. It's more of like a last second thing at the deadline.
He's like a Justin Morneau ad to me.
Yeah.
Different position, obviously. Doesn't really have one at this point, but he's a Justin Morneau.
Chris, and here's the thing about him.
In the old days, he's a guy you could have made a non-waiver or a waiver trade on.
This is why it's so much easier to do this job now than it was 30 years ago, because you just have the internet in front of you the entire time you're talking.
Yeah.
He is a complete creation of Coors this year.
Well, that's what I just said. Three home runs, and he plays half his games there.
He hit all his home runs at home. These are his road stats. 35 games on the road, more road games than home games. No homers, 9 RBIs, 232, 600 OPS. No.
He fits right in with these guys.
Yeah.
He'll be perfect.
Not doing that.
He's basically Rowdy Tellez full season away from home.
Steve is next. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Steve.
Here's part of what I think about Davis. I mean, I think of Davis, and I'm not saying they should have done this. When you pick at the top, I think you should go for the best talent.
Yeah.
But you got to think of Davis in combination with Chandler and Solomato, because they went cheaper.
Right.
Signed him under slot, used that money, and parlayed it into two other prospects.
No doubt, but probably he still shouldn't be this bad.
I agree, and I think they missed out substantially on a player that could have already been helping them. But I also think all this talk about the Marlins, there's no way that trade, Marlins would be foolish to take such a light package in exchange for one of the prime hitters this year in a market where hitting is
Scarce. Hold on a second. Time out, though. One of the things that I would disagree with you on is, if you look at the way these small market teams operate, it's 2.5 seasons, really, or 3 seasons, because a half a season for Chisholm, half a season from Scott, which adds up to 1, and then what, 2 more of Chisholm, Chris?
Correct.
So that's 3 seasons of baseball.
Yep.
With Ortiz, Burrows, and Davis, add that up. That's like what, 13, 14 seasons?
10 or 11, yeah, at least.
I mean, so that's why I think they would. That's why I think they would be tempted to do it, Steve. Like, you get.
Yeah, I mean, controllable years.
Right.
Sure,
that's why the Pirates made the Garrett Cole trade the way that they did, because of all the controllable years they got back for him.
I get that, but I would imagine in this particular market, they're going to probably find controllable years and probably more upside, unless they really think they see something in Davis that they can turn around.
Well, and Chris, and Steve, I'm going to put you on hold and give you the third eye blind tickets. You brought this up. I didn't know this as well as you did, or you found it. Their catching situation sucks.
Yeah, their catcher that has played the most games has a 416 OPS. I mean, he can't play. I don't know if he's good on defense.
He's Austin Hedges. Actually, he's worse than Hedges.
Right. God, I was just looking up Henry Davis the year he got drafted, just the first round.
The shortstops, McClain and Lawler, I think, are looked at as big-time prospects still.
They are. But like Matt McClain, who was a college shortstop, the Reds, he's the leader in war from that first-round class, 3.7. Henry Davis is technically like a worse baseball player than guys who haven't played. He's actively hurt the Pirates when he's been on the field. So have a couple of the other guys. Remember Jordan Lawler, the high school shortstop?
Yes, I just
brought his name up. You just said him. Well, it's because he's already made the bigs. Mayer hasn't. Jordan Lawler has scuffled, to say the least.
Yeah.
But he was a high school player.
How bad is it?
He's hitting 129 in his career.
Mm.
He's only been up for 31 AB.